Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit, and remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
This is the Zabe Cast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Thursday, February 5, 2026. Thank you for downloading. Super Bowl is Sunday, just in case you did not know. No big news out of San Francisco on Wednesday or Santa Clara. And I know this because I was out of pocket driving and podcasting, and I didn't really watch any coverage of ESPN from the Super Bowl or NFL Network for that matter. So right when I came home and before I sat down in front of this microphone, I said, well, let me just make sure nothing happened out there, because maybe something did and I just didn't hear about it. So I go to a little website I found. It's a good little website for sports if you're interested. ESP as in Paul, N as in November. ESPN.com covers all sports. And I see under top headlines, we've got an NBA trade story, another trade story, another trade story, a story about Michael Penix in Atlanta, I don't know why, a story about an NHL prospect charged with assault, a college football story about a one-year extension that Luke Fickell's not going to get at Wisconsin, hey, how about that, another NBA trade story, and then a story about a Canadian snowboarder who crashed and had to leave on a stretcher. But don't worry, the featured window, the featured photo with the video button is of a NBA game, Nuggets and Knicks. And then there's underneath the slider of other videos you can watch with, I'm sure, an advertisement at the front. Hey, you got ads too, buddy. Pipe down. Okay. It's all NBA there. Okay. So I scroll down further. And I see another NBA window, and I see an NBA scoreboard, and I see an NBA trading deadline story. And then I see Brian Windhorst's smiling mug. And apparently Giannis did not get traded this deadline. And I'm scrolling. NFL draft doesn't come up until way down the scroll. And then I'm thinking, where's the Super Bowl stuff? And, oh, there it is, way down there. Now, again, I'm not saying ESPN doesn't care about the Super Bowl. In fact, they do very much. Next year, they will have the Super Bowl ESPN. It'll also be on ABC, but it's the first officially branded ESPN Super Bowl. And immediately after the game is over, they're going to do some 24-hour programming special called The Handoff. Oh, we're getting the game next year. But is it really nothing happening? There's not, like, normally during Super Bowl week, you would have a story that is kind of fluffed up and propped up and an angle that is getting traction that would at least make the top 10 stories on ESPN. But no, So maybe there's not much interest. I'm looking forward to the game. It's the last tackle football game for a long time. That said, the trade deadline was today, Wednesday, and a number of guys got moved, but the biggest name that got moved was Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis traded to the Wizards, shockingly enough, in a massive 8-player deal that included 5 draft picks. Here's the deal. You ready? Anthony Davis and guards Jaden Hardy and D'Angelo Russell and Dante Exum go to Washington. You're like, okay, Anthony Davis and D'Angelo Russell, I've heard of. Hardy and Exum, huh? Wizards send out Chris Middleton, A.J. Johnson, Malachi Branham. Is that a real name? Marvin Bagley III, plus 2 first-round draft picks and 3 second-rounders. Now, that's not, you know, Middleton is an old veteran with creaky knees, whatever. A.J. Johnson, Malachi Branham, Marvin Bagley III, just guys. The first-round picks were picks the Wizards own that belonged to the Thunder this year in 2026, so it was going to be a very low first-round pick. And then the Warriors' top 20 protected pick in 2030. Wizards still hold their own pick inside the top 8. So at least there's that. A number of people in our market on radio were saying, oh, it's a good deal. No, it's work. You know, they traded for Trae Young from Atlanta a couple months ago. Next year, how's he doing? They haven't played him. They're managing his chronic knee injury. So you got Trae Young, who's hurt and getting older quickly and costs a ton of money. And now you get another guy who costs a ton of money and is hurt all the time. And this is supposed to be a win. Why? How? The contract on Anthony Davis is outrageous. It's huge. But then that's spun into a positive. Like, well, if it doesn't work out next year, then you can trade him the year after that, the final year of his deal. And I'm sure a team would love to take him off your hands because then they can get that off their books. This is all just swapping around bad ideas for players. Anthony Davis is a walking injury waiting to happen. And so to acquire him and then to put him on top of Trae Young, so a team that is headed for the lottery this year can be what? A 4 seed maybe next year in the East? Win a series maybe next year in the East? As the great line from J. Peterman went in Seinfeld, I don't see it, Elaine. I don't see it. Actually, was that Mr. Pitt? I believe it was. I don't see it. I think it's a dumb move. But they're the ones making the moves. In theory, this could lift the Wiz to relative mediocrity in the East, a solid 4 or 5 seed for a couple of years, maybe, if there aren't injuries, which there's almost certainly going to be. That and the story about the Washington Post eliminating their sports department as it currently exists. We talked to Gene Wong just a couple days ago, and of course, the worst news possible has been confirmed. The only sports writers that'll be kept on will write about sports in the context of, quote, culturally relevant events, unquote. And not so much a, here's what's going on. Really would have liked the Post to write today about this trade and explain it to me like I'm 10 years old to go, okay, I don't get it, I don't see it, but paint me the best picture possible. Give me some quotes from the GM and from the head coach and maybe from the owner, Ted, why this made sense. I guess that's not culturally relevant enough. Mark it down, though, February 4, 2026, the day the Washington Post effectively died. Oh, it'll still be on. I'm going to focus on national security and politics and various other things, but absolute bloodbath of the Post. 300-plus journalists thrown out. And I won't get into the whole, a lot of you are very gleeful about any journalist because of what you believe is a very biased media environment. And you're not wrong, by the way. But, you know, a lot of them, they may vote Democrat all the time. They may be very liberal, but they might write for the style section about concerts or the metro section about something else, and it's not political. That will be missed. But yes, not a good day in D.C. sports history. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. That said, I had a chance to visit one of my favorite dudes at one of my favorite places that I don't get to very much. He is Ken Smith, a.k.a. the Felt Father, who works at MGM Grand National Harbor. And Ken had been offering me for quite some time to do one of my sort of restaurant podcasts down there. And I said, okay, I'd love to do it. It's a little far away from where I live, hour and 15 minutes. But I'd be happy to do that. I got to find a couple of live bodies willing to come join me there. And so we settled on the Tap Restaurant and Sports Bar, which is fantastic. They got a great outdoor area. I got to go there during sports season to watch games because it's really nicely done. And I was able to rope in two of the four high school buddies turned DC sports radio fixtures, the Sports Junkies, into joining me to cut it up for a bit about a lot of different things. We talk about JP's new book called Faith Restored about the Commanders' Miracle 2024 season. Also about how Johnny Cakes Allville has an obsession with poker that can hardly be put into words, and his gambling addiction that made him back up and reassess some things like, okay, I got to slow down here. We talked about logo silliness, the wretchitude of Dan Snyder, sports radio drama, cheating your way through high school chemistry, and JP's incredible stunt to become a pro boxer at least for 2 minutes and 53 seconds. Here is my chat with J.P. Flame and Johnny Cakes Allville of the Junkies.
Cakes. Check, check, 1, 2, 3. ZabeCast, okay. MGM National Harbor.
Okay, there we go.
Yep.
Same
JP.
Thing. Everything sounds good to me.
Everything sounds good. Sounds rock and roll. Okay, great. All right, we are here at TAP. Unbelievable place here at MGM National Harbor, or better known as Cakes' second home.
This is my happy place, Abe. This is my home away from home. You know this.
I know.
You know me too well.
I know. And you don't live close to here. I thought you lived on this side of the market.
I don't live close to here, but I do work close to here.
You do work close to here. But here was the thing. You were supposed to have a poker event here tonight.
Yes, this is the usual night.
That got moved.
Yeah. Correct.
But you came anyway to get some extra flops in.
Yeah, because...
Which is hilarious, because I'm thinking, JP, that he just told his wife, yeah, I got to go to this thing, and never canceled with the wife.
My wife knows. She knows I'm a degenerate. She's totally cool with it.
Knowing is one thing. Letting you out of the house is another.
Zabe, I'm efficient. If I'm one thing, I'm efficient, because okay. I'm not going to drive here for the ZabeCast starting around 5:15, 5:30.
Right.
I'm not going to leave my house at 3:45 or 4 and drive straight into into rush hour hellscape traffic.
I know, which is what I did.
But what JP did.
Which I feel terrible.
So
for
what I do is I look at my schedule grid for the day, and I'm like, okay, I've got nothing but time between end of junk show and the ZabeCast. So I go home, I do a few things at home, and then I hop in the car.
Well, that's good.
I see some flops. I see my people up in the poker room. I show my face. Everything is good. Everything's great.
JP. Here's the truth, though.
Yeah.
He's actually good. His balance sheet is in the positive.
Oh, I know.
He's won tournaments here, or at least cashed in several tournaments.
This is true. Now,
I asked him about the World Series of Poker that he was in last summer.
Right.
and he cashed, meaning you made some money.
This is correct.
But it took a few days.
But you were staked, though.
I was staked by an outside party.
$10,000 to get into this thing.
Yeah, I'm too cheap to pay that out of my own pocket.
Well, and so I asked him, JP, I go, have you ever staked your own money? And basically, Cakes is like, nah, it's too much.
Well, here, I'll just...
And I said, bro, you don't have... You're an adult with money.
I am an adult with money, but I'll peel back the curtain. Because I am the poker ambassador for MGM National Harbor, yeah, where we're broadcasting from. They treat me great. Part of my deal is, like for a lot of the bigger tournaments that take place here on this property, they pay my buy-in, Zabe.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to dip into my pocket
outside
of the property.
Okay.
It's a great scam I have working here.
I'm not saying don't take that stuff.
Yeah.
Add on going to play, like you're thinking it all wrong.
I could be.
Because you're getting in free at here. Mm-hmm. That means it frees up your $10,000,
right,
to play in the big dance.
That is a good point.
I mean, if you love poker, which you do, and you're good at it, right, JP? You say he's good.
He's good.
Then you should play in the U.S. Open of poker every year.
Yep.
You should be in that every year for $10,000.
You're probably right.
You would not be
I'm
down.
I'm just too much of a miser to come out of pocket.
Can I stake you?
Can you stake me?
Yeah, would you? If I staked you.
Okay. Well,
what if I got a consortium of my Zabecast listeners?
Yes.
A grand for 10 guys who have money to burn.
I mean, I would
put
certainly,
you in.
I would certainly consider it. I listen to all offers, Zabe.
Okay.
He just needs the green light from the wife to go away for a week to Vegas.
Yeah, it's...
Oh.
Which is...
You know how
which
that
is very
works.
Doable. Like, my wife is
how
awesome as
kids?
Far
He'll
as...
Take
how old are your kids now?
My kids are... Let me do the math here. 28.
You shouldn't have to do math.
28.
It's a simple
23. Thing. 21. Yeah.
So they're clear. There's no reason you can't go.
Pretty much. I mean, I went last summer. It was great.
I love it.
I missed my kids and my wife because you're there for seven days.
JP is the one
days.
With younger kids now.
JP does have a
just
younger
one.
Child.
Just
yeah.
one, yes.
Yeah. I have.
Lovely current wife.
I can do some math. 25, 18, and 8.
Yeah.
It's not math.
Yeah, he's better at math than me.
Just remembering your own children.
I know. It's hard.
But my son will be 19 on Monday.
Ah, very good.
Cakes,
he's a
math
freshman at Maryland.
Cakes, math would be subtract your youngest from your oldest. That's
youngest,
math.
Youngest well,
here's the just remembering the ages of your kids
here's the
is
thing,
not
Zabe.
Math.
Yeah.
What are you,
well, you
Cromartie?
You got to think about their birthdays.
Yeah, I'm not as prolific as
you
Antonio
Cromartie.
You
think about their birthdays. And look, Cakes has never been good at math.
Not a math guy.
We grew up together.
Well, neither
he
am
had
I.
A, he had a,
you and I are brothers in that regard. I'm a word man.
Here.
I'm not a number man.
Yeah.
Did you not have a tutor in like ninth or 10th grade for
I had
geometry?
A tutor for geometry, and I still barely skated by with D's. And I cheated. There was a lot going on.
Oh, see, now we're into this.
Yeah.
Cheating in high school.
Oh, yeah, I was a pro.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not proud of it.
I want to hear your story, but here's what I did in chemistry. Chemistry was destroying me.
I definitely cheated in chemistry in high school.
Right, because who knows 100%. How to... Who knows how
you
to...
You need to tell your story about the makeup exam.
Who knows what a mole is? Okay, JP brings it up, so I will bring it up.
Who knows how to calculate the half-life of cesium?
Yeah, I don't know any of that.
Own. Right.
Okay, so JP and I, just to let everybody know, here in Prince George's County, we're in PG County now, we went to Eleanor Roosevelt High School, which was a science and technology curriculum high school.
Magnet school.
A magnet school.
We were smart.
Allegedly, we were smart back in the day.
How did you guys get into
a
magnet
school? We passed
the test
somehow. I don't know how, but we passed the test.
We were in the top 200 of Prince George's County that year.
So, at some point, I don't know why I did this,
yeah,
I signed up for AP chemistry. Not regular run-of-the-mill chemistry. AP chemistry, which is just way out of my league.
Well, the thing is, we had to actually, believe it or not, choose a major in high school. You had to either be, if you were in the science and tech program,
yeah,
which, by the way, was a way to avoid the regular public school, which we were assigned to, which was Largo High.
Yeah.
Largo High might be a fine high school then, but
full
back
the,
then, Eleanor
full
Roosevelt
of the Crips and the Blood.
Was a little bit better.
You wanted to escape the mean streets of Largo.
Kinda, so we went to Eleanor Roosevelt. You had to either be engineering, physics, or biology.
Yeah.
And I think both Cakes and I were on the biology track.
AP
bio
chemistry.
Guy. All right, so long story short, we take the entire class takes a test, and everybody bombs the test, so she allows a retest. Okay, she did.
Bombs is relative. Some people got 60s,
yeah,
70s.
I bombed
Cakes
it.
Got like a 23.
I bombed it. So,
23.
Yeah, I got like just one of the worst scores ever.
Okay.
So she administers a retest. Somehow, I got hold of the test, the answers, before the retest came.
Ding, 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 ding,
okay?
Ding.
Somehow.
Same cheating scheme we did.
Somehow I got my hands on. Now, I was too dumb when I got the results. I didn't think it through. I wasn't like, you should just get like a 70 or 75 on the test. Okay. Yeah. I got greedy.
Yeah,
I got like a 90 something, 93 or something. Like, I went from like a 23 to a 93 on the retest. And, but she couldn't bust me because she didn't have the goods on me. But when she's handing out, when she's, she suspected. She knew I cheated because how am I going to go from a 23 to a 93 in the span of a week without cheating? So she's handing out the results and she gave me the worst stink eye ever when she hands the test back with my score on it. It was basically like, I know you cheated, but I can't bust you because I don't have the goods on you. So yeah, I cheated my way through high school. That's basically is the gist of it. Yeah.
So what happened with me was we had a kid in our class who was the teacher's assistant for another period. Mm-hmm. He got the tests from old Mr. Tlusty.
Okay.
That was our teacher, Mr. Tlusty.
You're breaking out names. I mean, I could have used my teacher's name, but I didn't. It doesn't matter. This is 40 years ago.
Mr. Tlusty had just this wisp of gray hair, stunk of cigarettes, and had one pinky that had like gone in half.
Okay.
Like it was probably he dipped it in a jar of sulfuric acid by accident.
Nice.
Nobody really had the courage to ask him what the deal was.
Got it.
So our friend who was the TA would get the tests ahead of time in chemistry. We would then decamp to a classmate's house to try to solve the test as a group of four of us.
Okay.
And it took us fucking 3 hours. And we still only got like B minuses,
but and what was the class?
Chemistry. But it was good enough. At the halfway point of the year, I realized this is not going to last. Okay. So I asked my parents, I'm like, I want to transfer out of chemistry.
Okay.
And they go, why? You're doing fine. That's the teachers or the counselor was like, why would you want to do this?
Right.
And I had to lie and say, I just don't feel like I'm learning the material.
I can't like any teenager would say that.
Right.
Yeah, because I got out. Because I knew that once that gravy train to get in the test ahead of time ran out, we were fucked. Literally, I'd get zeros.
You brought up being a TA. My other good scam in high school, I was a teacher's assistant I'll just break her name out because you did, Miss Finnerty for civics or social studies. So that gives you access to the yellow passes to get you out of your other classes. That access. So I took a class called physical training, which was 3 days. I believe this was the schedule. 3 days a week of weightlifting. The other 2 days running track. I was not a track guy.
This was in the gifted high school too.
Cakes Ferrigno over here would go on the lifting days. And every day we ran, I would have a note for the teacher. And he's like, you're never here on running days, but you're always here on the lifting days. Missed every week. And on top of that, I would use that time to go and get a second lunch in the cafeteria instead of going and running the lunch off during physical training. That was kind of my thing.
I did lunch with cakes twice a week, even though we weren't supposed to be in the same period of lunch.
Yeah.
Right. And you two and EB went to high school together. Lurch did not.
No.
EB went to DeMatha. We all grew up within a block of each other. EB and I grew up across the street from each other. Cakes right down the street. Our families were friends. Kind of unique. We all were the older brothers of just boys. And all of the brothers kind of hung out.
Nice.
So our families became close.
And all the DeMatha guys, I'm sure you know this. There's just so much DeMatha propaganda. You never hear the end of the fact that they went to DeMatha.
Yes.
And they have DeMatha pride.
That said, both of our brothers went to DeMatha.
That is true. One of my brothers went to DeMatha as
because
well.
Why didn't you guys go to DeMatha?
To give it full circle. Nobody wanted to go to Largo High School in our neighborhood.
If you
could get into Roosevelt, you went to Roosevelt. If not, you probably went the private route.
Because you had to pay to get into DeMatha.
Correct.
DeMatha pay, DeMatha no girls.
Oh.
Yeah. Not that we had great success in high school.
Right. Now that you were killing it in high school.
No.
Yeah. Took your chances from 2.1% to zero, basically.
Right. Things improved later in high school. But yeah, the first 2 years especially, very, very dry. Very dry years.
I had braces and glasses.
Yeah. I didn't have the glasses, awesome. But I definitely had braces.
That's awesome. JP has written another book. It's called Faith Restored. There it is right there. John Paul Flame, Forward by Joe Theismann.
Very nice.
Joe Theismann, like you, JP, is the quarterback of my adolescence. He has hung the moon. He can do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I love Joe Theismann. I would do anything for Joey T.
He's awesome. You know what? I asked him really just to give me some feedback on the Hail Mary chapter in the book. And he never completed a Hail Mary. And he gave me the story, and after a while, I was like, maybe I should just ask him to do the forward. I was a little bit afraid, a little gun-shy.
Nice.
Nicest guy in the world, and he wrote a fantastic forward.
So you asked him about the Hail Mary that the Commanders had against the Bears?
Yes.
Amazing fucking moment.
Oh, such a great moment.
So good.
And it was a turning point.
Yeah, it absolutely was last year. And your book talks about how, you know, and in the I didn't read the whole thing, JP. I'm sorry.
It's okay, there are
I'm
pictures.
Working through it. Okay, there are pictures.
We need a lot of pictures. Words. I love pictures and books.
But I love the fact that, you know, in the prologue, you said many people told you, really? You're going to write this book after one season? And you were like, you don't understand. We have been through hell with Snyder.
Yeah.
Of course I'm going to write this book because this matters.
Right.
Now, we don't know what the next 10 or 20 years will bring. This past season was so needed.
Yeah, and you know, JP and I didn't grow up as Redskins fans. But
why not?
I can answer mine.
Yeah, you go.
My father came from outside the country and ultimately located in Baltimore and went to Hopkins. I grew up a Colts fan.
Oh, you're a Colts fan. Okay.
All right. I have a
what about Ravens?
You know what? I didn't make the move. I would say right now I'm very passionless.
What year did the Ravens occur?
Early 2000s, I want to say. Or
no,
I
should have,
late 90s. Late 90s.
96, I want to say.
You're right. You're right.
Super Bowl in 2000.
You're right.
I should have made the switch. But when I was a kid, growing up across the street from EB, who was there in the midst of the glory years of the Redskins, which is how that book starts. The book's in three acts. It's glory years, destruction, resurrection.
Yeah.
So the magical season was the resurrection of the Commanders and the owner doing everything right and RFK Stadium and all these things happening. I rooted for the Horseshoe. And they were kind of a terrible team at the time, but my dad and I didn't have that many things that we bonded together over, but that was one of them, the Baltimore Orioles and the Baltimore Colts.
Such an iconic franchise,
yep.
An iconic logo and colors. And that's part of what we'll get into here is the way that the brand has been completely fucked up
right.
From Redskins to now Commanders.
Zabe, I had a much dumber reason to root for the Raiders as a kid because I had NFL bed sheets, and I love the Raiders logo. I mean, you're talking about iconic logos when you're a 9 or 10-year-old kid and you see the silver and black and
it's
the eye patch
right
and the pirate. You know, I just fell in love with it, and I rooted for them up until I got corrupted by fantasy football. I'll be honest.
Okay.
Like,
you started rooting for your fantasy team at...
Basically, and I kind of stopped rooting for the Raiders.
Okay.
And then I was like, what am I doing? Like, I root for all the other Washington area teams. Like,
I need
to throw my support behind the Commanders because it makes sense.
I was a part-time Charger fan because they were always on in the afternoons in the late game.
They were a fun team to watch.
Fun as hell. Loved offense.
Jefferson and Chandler.
Oh, yeah. Kellen Winslow Sr. Yeah, it was in the iconic helmets with the lightning bolts. I drew a million helmets in high school and elementary school of the frickin' Chargers. But they were... the side team.
Right.
They were the AFC.
They were a side piece.
They were the Gumar, if you will.
Right.
You didn't talk about it.
Sure.
But you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, you're like, okay,
but
I can pull for that.
I hated the fucking Raiders.
Right.
Because the holy, holy roller.
But here's the thing, Zabe, and you know this. I think that both of us, even if when we were kids and teenagers weren't diehard Burgundy Gold fans, it's kind of come around. Like, for the radio show's purpose, I've rooted for the Redskins / Commanders for years. It has sucked. And this is part of the reason I wrote the book. That the majority of our radio career, the team that everybody in this area cares about the most
has been dog shit. I know.
Yeah.
And that affects.
People lost hope.
Yeah.
And people abandoned the team. And people became apathetic towards the team because of the owner.
Well, you were talking, you know, you asked us the age of our kids, you know, like JP and I have kids who are similar ages. Up until last year, they had never experienced a Redskins / Commanders team that was any good. That outside of maybe a one-off like the RG3 year, they never experienced like the Redskins glory years. Like, I have a kid who's almost 30 years old who's seen the Commanders do nothing for the most part but suck his entire lifetime.
That's tough.
So like Jaden Daniels last year, he gave people that hope that, hey, we're going to be out of the dark ages. This guy's going to be our franchise quarterback for a decade.
That hope started before. We hosted a Burgundy and Sold party. I don't know if you were there.
No, I was not there at the time, but I watched it from afar because it was when finally the transfer of the team went out of Snyder's hands.
Yep.
Right. and the energy. And I mean, it was a couple thousand people
there. That was down at the, what do they call it?
Bullpen.
The bullpen.
Right near Nats Park.
With all the shipping containers turned into bars.
Yeah. Yep, right. It's a good spot.
Josh Harris actually called into the radio station, bought everybody a round of beer, which was kind of a signal. Look, it's not that big of a deal. The guy's a billionaire 10 times over. Sure. But it was a signal of, here's an owner who's going to try and connect with the fan base and do the right things, unlike the previous
guy. Dan Snyder have ever bought, you know, 1,000-some people a round of beers? It just wouldn't have happened.
Absolutely not. The book is called Faith Restored, John Paul Flame, a.k.a. JP. It got published later than you would have liked, a little bit of a publishing snafu, but it's still a very worthwhile book to read. Where can people get it?
FaithRestoredBook.com, and for Zabe listeners... Now, I need to figure out how to do this on Shopify.
Promo code Zabe. Charlie Zulu, Alpha Bravo Echo.
Half price.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
It had been $29.95. I need to get on the computer. I will change it to $15 for everybody that buys the book.
Very nice. Look at that.
Moving forward.
I do love this guy, and I hope to not have my heart broken by Jaden Daniels, because I fell for RG3.
Right.
I don't know about you guys. I really thought he was unnaturally mature. And in fact, he was just good at spewing successories posters at the podium.
Right.
You know, like, teamwork makes the dream work and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then the more you learn,
diamonds
the more
pressure creates diamonds.
No pressure, no diamonds.
Right.
And that's why the fucking locker room turned on him. Yeah. The vengeance.
They could see through the phoniness.
They knew it right away.
But Jaden seems like the real deal. The problem now is he going to stay upright? Can he play in 15-plus games every season? He did it as a rookie.
JP
wasn't able to do it in year two.
You feel like he's the dude?
If he can stay healthy.
Oh boy, that was a huge
pause. Same question for everybody.
Hear that pause?
Yeah, there was definitely
a pause. I think he's the real deal. Look, they had to make a decision with that number two pick. We're seeing Drake May in the Super Bowl this Sunday.
I was going to say, have you gotten any Drake May regret calls
on
the radio show?
Oh, no doubt. There's
you guys have taken calls.
I don't think there's a ton because people are afraid
to.
We work with a guy who waves the Drake May banner.
Oh, yeah. Jason Bishop.
Bishop does?
Big Drake May guy.
And was Bish on May from the get-go, or is this retro?
He was. He each did a board. Yeah. Wow. He had Drake May number one.
Wow, that's a good receipt. I bet you
it's
he doesn't wave that around all the fucking time.
Now, like we've talked about this on the show over the past few weeks, I don't really care if the Patriots or Seahawks win, but deep down I kind of do because I can't have Jason Bishop lording that over our heads the rest of our careers, however long we keep working.
Out of that draft class, three or four of them can be successful as long as you have one that can be the guy. What Jaden has in his favor is he's obviously uber talented, and he obviously showed something that I don't think RG3 ever did, like an ability to read the defenses. We can talk about personality, but I think we all know he can make all the throws. We'll see what the new offensive coordinator does. I think he fits the system, right? If he can stay healthy, they should be fine. That's what we see year in and year out. If you have a game changer at quarterback, and that's what they have, you have a shot.
I just think it's interesting that
and he has in his favor that he played his whole college career without any of these injuries. And he played all of his rookie season and played in all those games.
Is that in his favor?
Well.
Or is now the law of averages.
Right, it's catching up to him, you think?
Around.
I mean, that could be part of it. But hopefully not. Hopefully year two was just an anomaly.
This class is so wild because Caleb looked like a bust last year.
Right.
Not so much now. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels had the bomb year last year. Now we're wondering about the injuries. Drake May had a shitty coach.
Yeah.
And now he looks a hell of a lot better.
Right.
So, and then you've got Bo Nix.
And then you got Bo fucking Nix. It's and I always tell people, I'm like, you know, the guys who are getting paid a lot of money to figure out which guys will be good at quarterback in the NFL, the most important position, they're only about 50-50 themselves.
Right.
So they spend their whole life trying to figure it out. They're not much better than we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pick that can either get you an extension or get you fired with the quickness, depending on who you pick.
All right, so there's a logo issue that has cropped up recently here, just in the last couple days with the Commanders.
We see what you're wearing today.
Oh, I'm wearing
strategically.
This is vintage stuff right here, but the hat and the Redskins sweatshirt. I actually threw a lot away, JP.
Really?
Well,
you got rid of your gear?
I had a couple purges. One was when I took the job in Wisconsin and I was a Packer fan, and I still am to a large extent. But another purge came after the McNabb debacle.
Okay.
Because that was a debacle.
That was a fun one.
That was just Dan
Didn't
Snyder.
Didn't you think it was going to work? I thought it was going to work.
I was like
McNabb, Shanahan. it should work.
Yeah, well, that was Andy Reese just fleecing the Redskins back in the day.
Yeah, and then the whole Shanahan thing wiped out, and I was like, fuck it. I got rid of a lot of stuff. I actually sold on eBay this really nice, large Redskin logo painting that I had gotten from somewhere. I forget where. And I didn't realize the shipping would be so much, and I listed it as free shipping. I think I lost money on the thing. I tried to back out of the sale,
right,
and the guy on eBay is like, man, it's going to hurt your rating. You really shouldn't do this. It's not how it works. And I was like, all right, fuck it.
Yeah.
And I should have kept it. I should have kept it. Now, I know that the logo is never coming back. It's like the dad who went out for a pack of smokes and never came home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening.
Right.
Give it up, Johnny. It's not happening. But this move now to incorporate the spear, which looks like the Sonny Jurgensen spear, which was on the helmets for, I think, two seasons only, in the late 60s, early 70s. I get what they're trying to do, but it's just fucking weak-ass zigzagging back towards something less offensive than that taco holder right there. That nobody likes.
I've never heard the taco holder. That is
I've heard the taco holder.
People have whipped up, I'll find you a logo.
It's a great description.
But that said, Zabe, the taco holder you're seeing more of. You know, Cakes and I for years did a pregame show.
Yes. Right?
And year after year, you would see less people like you wearing gear. To the point that at the end of our run doing this pregame show for probably 20 years, we're at random bars all across the DMV that you would see maybe one or two jerseys. It would be an old Cooley jersey, an old Wiggins jersey.
Sonny.
That's all you would see, right?
Heisman. Yeah, the old school guys.
But last year, during the magical run to the playoffs and all the way to the NFC Championship, all of a sudden, at the end of the year, you saw a bunch of people wearing Commanders gear.
That is true, but I will say this. I was just out like at a store that sold sporting goods yesterday, and they had Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels jerseys 50% off. Like, like the superstars of the team, 50% off.
Well, it is February, Case.
I understand.
You worked at retail. You were a Toys R Us guy.
We're out of football season.
Past Christmas.
Generally,
there you go.
The home market team, that's pretty good.
Have you seen that, JP?
It shouldn't have, 50% off sales on your most popular players.
You shouldn't. By the way, I'm a huge fan of the jersey because it allowed you to get close to a jersey for way less money.
Right. It's less commitment.
I once had a Hainsworth jersey.
Man.
And I got rid of that.
Well,
and
you should have gotten rid of that. You should have never had it. But yeah,
you know why I got it? I got it as sort of a kitschy joke.
Okay.
Like, ha ha, let me get this fat piece of shit jersey.
That makes sense.
And can you imagine if I still had it now, I could pop it out and roll around someday.
So how much demand was there for it when you got rid of it?
I don't.
That has to be a goodwill. Like, there's no chance anybody bought. There's no way anybody on the planet bought an Albert Hainsworth Redskins jersey.
You know what my big L was? So I got divorced and remarried, and my wife, when we moved into a townhouse, had this idea of making one room special for my daughter.
Okay.
So I painted it burgundy and gold. Cakes has done the voice for years. I got this Brian Arakpo fat head. It was a high ceiling. It was challenging to paint it, but it was this cool burgundy and gold room.
And your wife signed off on the colors.
Yeah, she actually encouraged it, and my daughter loved it. To this day, she says it was her favorite room. But it was so much work that when we moved out, and it was a rental, I had to eat the whole deposit because there was no way I could take down the burgundy and gold. The burgundy was so dark, I would have had to paint over it four times.
16 layers of white to get ceiling white back on.
Primer.
Zabe, this is going to be an internet exclusive. Do you want my old school Brian Arakpo impression of being in JP's daughter's bedroom?
Yes, please.
Hey, JP, come on, man. Get me off the wall. Get my fat head off the wall. Come on, man. Get me down off the wall.
By the way, Brian Arakpo was a guest on our TV show that we did for
he
two or three seasons called Table Manners. We used to do that at the pool.
I remember that, yes.
Brian Arakpo would not take his hat off, even though the director and producer for half an hour
he was not
negotiating
a
with them
you know what?
To take the hat off.
You think I was going to tell Brian Arakpo to take his hat off? This guy?
No.
No.
No. Arakpo wanted to fight Chris Cooley coming out of Redskin Park one day because Cooley was doing his grades with, you know, the show, okay, and he would go through the film and, mm-hmm, you know, he was pointing some things out. There were good points about Arakpo. Well, Arakpo is going into a contract year.
Right.
The fuck he wants the the color voice of the team on a daily afternoon drive show pointing out that, well, he's not really good against the run.
Yeah.
So he had staked himself out waiting for us to get done doing the show in the little studio out there.
Right.
And there was like a big tense intersection with Arakpo and Cooley.
Like almost like trading blows or like getting in each other's face.
Arakpo's like, you keep your name out of your fucking mouth, man.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like, I go, Cooley, what happened out there? He's like, oh, you know, you didn't like what I was saying.
Right.
He didn't like what I was saying.
I would have been sprinting to my car while this is happening.
But then again, none of the players liked what he was doing because he was actually digging into the film every week, which the listeners liked. It got a bit tedious. I learned that actually watching film in football is tedious as fuck. And it's hard to even know what you're looking at because Cooley would sit there and he would like look at the play any given play, like three times. He'd look at the all 22. He'd look at the end zone all 22, and he'd make some notes. He'd scrub it back. Okay, good. And then occasionally be like, yeah, I'm going to have to ask one of the coaches about that play. And I go, why? He goes, well, it looked like they were in cover three, but it might have been quarters slice.
Look, you've been in radio forever, just like we have. All that's the film breakdowns are great. They're great to listen to.
If you can see them.
If you can see them, and also, but there's also a point of diminishing returns for most football fans, because most football fans, they are not into all of the super detailed nitty gritty X's and O's.
Well, what I learned was he would look, and it would take several hours each week, and he would take notes, and then he would still not understand on some plays what really was going on.
Right.
What the call was, mm-hmm, who had responsibility, and what do we do on air, JP, is like we see one player at the last line of defense miss his guy, and we blame it on him.
We lob bombs.
We
do. Yeah.
Well, we bitch at LaRon Landry taking fucking bad angles as safety because he had roided himself up to 300 pounds of sheer muscle.
Here's the thing about the film breakdown. I enjoy it. I think there's a certain amount of people that like it, right? But how many people over the years called into your show and called the owner, Dan Schneider? There's that portion of
probably,
fans.
Probably dozens.
Way more than should have.
Right.
Way more than should
and you're,
have.
And you're broadcasting to those people, too.
By the way, on a side note, thank God that guy is out of the picture. Now, it sucks that he got $6-some billion to sell the team, but he's so hated.
See that
he can't even live in the United States anymore. The guy lives like either over in Europe or on his yacht somewhere in the Mediterranean. Like he is public enemy number one here. Good riddance to him.
That the money he got does not bother me. You know why? Because I know that he's miserable.
Right.
He's a billionaire asshole with no real friends, mm-hmm, floating on a boat or living in Europe.
Right.
Irrelevant.
And he hated when they made it all the way to the NFC Championship.
Had to have hated it.
Could you imagine if they went to the Super Bowl? Oh.
Absolutely. Well,
he hated it.
For years, JP, I would say to Andy, I'm like, I don't know if I could take this team if they ever got good because Snyder would be completely off the rails.
Now, you worked at the park for a while, right?
Yes.
How often did you see him?
Galdi, never. One time. I saw Snyder once, like an apparition.
Think about that.
Right.
So he owned your radio station.
Own the radio station.
You worked on that radio station for years.
In the park.
In the park.
5 days a week, 3 hours a day.
Yeah, with you've never had an interaction.
With Chris Cooley, who was one of Dan's, quote, friends.
Right.
That's what Dan did. He would kind of rope in players as quasi-friends.
Big names.
Like he did with LeVar. And then cheated
Deion Sanders,
then
too.
Then cheated LeVar out of $5 million with a last-minute contract change that left LeVar quite bitter about it.
Yeah.
I talked to LeVar about that at the Super Bowl last year. He's like, yep, live and learn.
Mm-hmm.
But, I saw Snyder once, which was he looked in the window. There was a square window of the studio, and that's all there was. And he was, like, giving thumbs up to Cooley about they had just installed a cafeteria with decent food in Redskin Park because they didn't have that before. So players who were coming there to work out, train, film study, whatever, would come in with bags from, you know, Qdoba.
Right.
Or McDonald's.
Okay.
And it just stunned me. I was like, really, Cooley? Like, he didn't think I need a world-class facility? And the answer
wasn't world class.
No, it was dog shit. They didn't have a bubble. Shanahan was the guy that insisted they get a bubble.
I mean, it was just recently that they paved up that or tore up that old AstroTurf field
exactly.
from like the Joe Gibbs era.
Right.
That was still there like 3 or 4 years ago.
I just I only saw Snyder's face briefly once in the window. Never came in to introduce himself.
Never shook your hand.
No.
Not once.
No, because he is a fucking coward in public. This is why all of his public speaking went off the rails like a fucking disaster. Mm-hmm. That's why he said Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Remember how nervous he was, JP, at that press conference introducing Ron Rivera? Hey, guys, Happy Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah,
and it was like December 27th or something.
That joke was never funny, and it's certainly not funny when Dan Snyder delivers it.
Well, they had a run-in with him.
Yeah.
Not really a run-in with him. But
this is Dan Snyder in a nutshell.
A pregame show probably 25 years ago from the club level of FedEx.
Yeah, this is
right
like
when it opened
early,
up.
It's probably 2000 or probably year 2000.
Okay.
You remember where the media spot is, where there's a catwalk over the main concourse.
Yes.
There's an elevator bank that you have to come out of to get to the media spot. So I'm right by the media doors about to walk over the catwalk to get to the elevator bank. I take 5 steps. I'm not even a quarter of the way across. And I see this army of Secret Service looking dudes come out of the elevator. There's 6 of them. Suits. They're all like 6'2 to 6'5. Big dudes.
Earpieces.
Earpieces, the whole nine. Boy. I was like, well, there's somebody important that's getting escorted by these dudes. And in the middle, you saw Dan Snyder's little head because he's 5'3 or whatever.
Yeah.
Short shame him because I tower over him at 5'8-ish, maybe 5'7 and a half.
You must have been 5'8 the media guy.
Yeah. So I see him. He's getting escorted by 6 dudes in his home stadium. It wasn't even like it's not like he was at the link. He wasn't at Giants Stadium. Like, if you
the
want
stories
that
of people saying he insisted on being called Mr. Snyder.
Oh,
I have
blood boiling.
I have an endless array.
I'm sure you do. But just to see that, like, just seeing that made me realize.
Yeah.
This guy's a douche.
Well, the beauty
of
is
epic proportions.
The beauty is we haven't heard anything from him since.
Love it.
And we're not going to hear
anything
from
him. Right, like you said, he's irrelevant.
Because he only bought his friends. Like, remember when he bought friendship with Tom Cruise briefly?
Right.
He bankrolled his stupid Nazi movie, Valkyrie.
Yeah, yeah.
Complete bomb.
I've said this many, many times. I don't want Dan Snyder or his annoying wife or any of his kids or any of the crew to be on this when it happens, but nothing would give me greater pleasure.
The boat to sink.
If Lady S.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Ran into an iceberg.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
And just took on water and wound up at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. Now, no casualties.
Right. With them safely rescued. Let's say there's a fire on the yacht.
I can only.
And a helicopter came. Now you're getting got everyone off.
This is an erotic conversation.
And then it went down, and there was good footage of it from nearby boats.
It would be fantastic.
And where you could see the Lady S on the side go bloop, bloop, bloop.
Please,
bloop, bloop,
bloop. I'm waiting for that headline someday, Steve. It's going to happen.
Oh, everything in that touch. God. Tank, though.
Yeah.
Cakes and I worked at Wild World together, which became Six Flags.
Yeah.
That was another bomb for Daniel Snyder.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
Wild World. I got a story from Wild World.
I'm sure you do. When's the last time you had a hamburger at Johnny Rockets. That was another Dan Snyder investment.
How's Dick Clark Productions doing?
Yeah, how's that working
out? Let me hear the Wild World story.
Yeah.
The Wild World story was just basically being in the drowning pool, which they affectionately called the wave pool.
Sure.
But the thing was neither fun nor safe.
Right.
And so people were literally struggling to not drown in that thing.
Those waves could get intense, no doubt.
And then they kind of let the Utes of PG County take over, and people would call it Gangs Dominion.
Like, I never heard that nickname.
That's not good marketing for that.
Cakes was my boss.
I was.
Fry Funnel Cake.
So you worked there when it was
worked there.
I mean, that was 10 minutes from where we grew up.
Yeah,
it was an easy place to get a summer job, like when you're 16, 17, 18 years old.
And then free access to the park when you want.
That part too,
But did you ever want to go there when you worked there?
No, it was more you wanted to go there like as a 15-year-old. By the time I was 17 or 18 and working there, you probably didn't want to go there during your off hours.
JP, but when we were 13, were your glasses and braces off then so you could pull some wool?
Part of the time, I didn't. When we were 13, 14, and 15, we had season passes.
Yep.
Dorks, if Phoebe was here, one of his great stories is we took the Metro bus to Wild World. and they had just put in a ride called the Rampage. It was kind of a straight down water slide, but you got on a little.
You're on like a sled almost, a plastic hard sled.
So the thing about those rides, if you got on the water slides or the Rampage, you had to take your shoes off.
You say Rampage weird. You say Rampage. You say Rampage.
Rampage.
Yeah, you put the
Rampage.
It's okay. Go
first
ahead.
First generation born in
America. Continue.
Both my parents born outside the country. EB puts his shoes. I put my shoes in little cubbies they have right outside.
Big mistake.
He had just bought some brand new like Air Force Ones.
Yeah. That shit's stolen.
We get off the Rampage and EB can't find his shoes.
My shoes.
Yeah.
We had to take the Metro bus home. He was barefoot. You know
that one's on EB, Zabe, because they did have a little thing called lockers. You could put your stuff in lockers and then prevent them from getting stolen.
That's better than getting them taken off your feet at gunpoint. Yeah. That is the easier way for them to go that way. You learned your lesson. Yep.
Yeah, but cakes get free funnel cake at the end of the night.
I mean, oh my God.
It was a fun gig.
It was fun gig when you're 17 or 18, no doubt.
I want to get back to the poker thing because JP, your boy here, Cakes, is here playing poker all the time. The man loves Texas Hold'em.
I do love seeing flops. MGM National Harbor has an amazing poker room, and I've been lucky enough to partner with them. I can't remember if it was right from the outset. I mean, this place has been open 9+ years now. I mean, their 10th anniversary is December 2026. But
when did you first play Texas Hold'em?
Me personally? Oh.
Do you remember?
I probably started playing Texas Hold'em
during the Chris Moneymaker craze is when it got big.
I probably started when my first kid was born, right around there, maybe a few years after that. So 25-ish years ago.
What was your radioactive spider bite to poker?
To get me in?
No, the thing that turned
that
you like
really
Peter
hooked
Parker
me into it?
Can I interject?
Yes. Yeah.
He's always had that gambling gene.
This is true.
A lot of us have that gambling gene, right? It went sideways for him with blackjack.
It did, yeah.
That's just the short version.
It was a dark time in my life, Zabe. I had a crippling online blackjack addiction.
Jeez.
But I went cold turkey and I quit now.
What year was that roughly?
Oh, JP probably knows that better than I do.
2012?
2026. I would say probably about 2008.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I was basically about to drive my family to financial ruin. But then,
Jesus.
Then
were you really serious?
I mean, I lost.
I lost like $1,000 a month.
I probably lost 20 grand.
To pull back the curtain.
This is
$1,000 a month.
To pull back the curtain, we had a deal, and I can't even remember. It might have been Bodog.
Yeah.
Remember Bodog?
Yeah, Bodog.
We had some sort of a deal where if we referred listeners to Bodog, we would get a certain percentage,
like a kickback.
And our producer at the time, Brett, who now runs a very successful restaurant in North Carolina called Sup Dogs.
Props to Brett.
He would get the monthly report. And there was a period of time where a group of us would go out to lunch after the show. And one day he goes, JP, Cakes wasn't at lunch that day. He goes, do you think this J.A. from Olney is Cakes?
That's right.
Like, yeah, of course it's Cakes. How many J.A. and Olneys are there, right?
Auville.
Yeah, I mean, that can't be that
and
many.
And so he would see that J.A. from Olney lost $900 last month.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And then we didn't confront him at first. We see it for a couple of months, and every month he's losing it.
Were you guys planning an intervention?
Like Sopranos style?
We actually, where he would walk in and you're all sitting there in chairs.
We brought it up on the air one time to see what his reaction would
be. Might have saved my life.
And Cake said, anybody who would play online blackjack's got to be an absolute idiot. Yeah. He was covering his tracks.
I had to cover my tracks.
So we let it go for a couple more months, and eventually
the indignant stuff. I would never do that.
Eventually, his loss grew to about 20,000. Did you lose?
Yeah, right around 20K. It was bad.
And then I think the wife found out.
Ooh.
And
I had to come clean. At some point, I had to go home and just tell my wife.
So how did you tell her? I'm curious.
I just told her I got neck deep playing online blackjack and I lost a shit ton of money.
How'd it take? It wasn't great.
She took it like a champ. She's an amazing woman because it could have gone a lot worse.
Didn't throw anything at you?
No.
So did she insist that you go to Gamblers Anonymous?
No.
I'm
still the poker ambassador for MGM National Harbor. Poker is not gambling. Poker is
a game of skill.
See, that's what I was
leading to. Yeah, blackjack, especially online, That's just throwing away your money.
Well,
you have
okay.
no idea what's right. happening there.
I had a golf buddy who was telling me about playing poker online and how he was like, man, I can't believe it. Every time I thought I had the nuts, I was getting beat. Then some IT guy looked at my computer and there was a virus in there
right.
and they were looking at my cards.
Yeah, well, that's a problem.
I'm like, you fucking
yeah.
But here's the thing. You're not a poker player. And I'm a...
Here's
the thing.
I've never seen a single flop. How about that?
I'm sad. That makes me sad for you.
No. No. I'm a complete virgin, and here's why. I know guys like you
mm-hmm. yep.
have probably 400,000 flops
right.
already.
Probably more than that.
Yeah, more than that. Way more.
More than that?
Have to be. Because I used to play online poker before the poker, Black Friday.
Estimate your lifetime flops you've seen.
Flops I've seen?
Yeah, I'd love to know this number.
I mean...
In an hour session, how many will you see?
Live or online? Live, you're not going to see a ton of flops in an hour. I mean, you might see...
But online, you'll see them boom, 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 boom,
because
boom.
Because... At the height of like online poker degeneracy, you're not playing at just one table. You've got a 55-inch display, and you're playing at a dozen or 20 tables at a time.
All right.
That's like the real sickness.
Well, because it's a game of skill, and because I know guys like you and others have done it a lot more, I made the decision I'll never catch up to be nearly good enough, so I'm just going to avoid it altogether.
All right, I can kind of understand that.
Probably a smart play.
The last time I played cards with buddies, we would play a game called Guts.
Okay.
Did you ever play that?
Don't know that one.
Basically, you'd get dealt three cards, and then you'd hold them in the air over the table.
Okay.
And if you wanted to hold your hand... then you would not drop them. So 3, 2, 1, and, so if you held, you were in.
Okay.
And if you then lost, you had to match the pot, and the pot would grow and grow.
All right.
To the point where there was, like, a $420 guts pot once, and my buddy Andy Lee lost it, and there was a silence in the room because we're 23 years old.
That's a lot of money.
Big money.
That was like, we're really sorry that you lost this much money, but we can't just go, don't wipe it off. We had to honor the rules of the game.
Part of the pull of gambling is that you never remember your big wins for the most part, but you remember, Andy Lee remembers that loss.
He sure does.
I guarantee you to this day, he remembers that loss.
He's a doctor married to a doctor with a kid who's a doctor. So he's doing just fine.
Pretty good.
Despite the $400. So you never called Gamblers Anonymous.
Never.
You never sought counseling for this.
Nope.
You came clean with your wife about blackjack. She took it like a champ.
Yep.
But you still kept playing poker. Did you swear off blackjack?
No. I dabbled a little bit with blackjack, but not a ton. But
okay.
Are you a better
poker player than blackjack player?
I would hope so, because I have more experience playing poker, and I would need like one of the cheat sheet little crib cards.
How to play.
Or I would need to bring a friend of ours who I won't mention his name. He's no longer welcome at this property.
We talked about him. Can we not give him some pub?
Sure.
Yeah, Rom.
Rom, the card counter.
Rom, the card counter is not welcome. Kenny Smith, the felt father, who's here watching the podcast
today. Yeah, he is not welcome on this property.
The felt father. That's a great name. Yeah.
I gave him that nickname a while ago, felt father. But okay, so...
But here's what I do.
So it's under control, which is great.
It is.
You get free entries to their events here as their ambassador.
That's
wonderful.
I host a monthly event the first Wednesday of every month, the Cakes Classic.
Zabe, would you accept a free roll?
I invited
Cakes.
I invited Zabe, and
he
said, you have nothing to lose.
He said, thanks, but no thanks.
I'll be out of town when this thing goes off.
Yeah. But it's every month, so just keep your schedule
every
open.
Every month he's going to be out of town.
Yeah, I like that. Every month, first Wednesday.
What do you know, Cakes? Out of town again.
Hey, that first Wednesday of every month, I'm out of town somehow. No, but you know what? Open invite. If you ever get over your poker phobia, just come on out. We'll do dinner. We'll do dinner at Voltaggio.
Okay.
We'll go see flops. It'll be a good time.
Can I give you one warning, though? This is when I knew poker wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So... our show kind of got into it collectively when the craze got big.
The Daniel
Moneymaker,
Negreanu,
the Fossil
Chris
Man,
Moneymaker,
Smith.
And it got big. And we started doing tournaments in
Jesus
Atlantic City
Ferguson.
Before they built this place, before there were casinos in Maryland.
The dark
we
days,
started
same.
Taking a crew of like 500, 600 Junkies listeners to Atlantic City once or twice a year for the Junkies Poker Open.
Mm-hmm. Great promotion.
We also used to go... as a show on the road to Vegas for the World Series of Poker. And I remember the first time we went, we arrive, 5 or 6 o'clock. Maybe we have dinner together. And then the boys all hit the tables. Jason's a big blackjack guy. He comes with a big wad of money. He does his thing. Cakes and EB were poker players. They go to the poker table, and I'm just kind of killing time.
Yeah.
I remember 8 p.m., Cakes being on the poker table, and then we have to do the show the next morning at 6, and Cakes was in the same position.
No way.
Like this with his and he's got his hand on his head. And, and most of the time in poker, you have to fold, right? You have to be patient, which I will give Cakes. One of his skills is he's patient.
Sure, you have to be.
I could have won a trip to Aruba. We did something with
a good
show.
Story.
All right? I started going all in this like quick little tournament. Whoever won the tournament would get a free trip to Aruba to play in some other tournament, right? I have like 20,000 in chips. Cakes has like 500.
I had nubs.
All I had to do was wait him out because it was the last junkie standing.
It was Survivor.
EB and Lurch were already out.
We didn't have to
all
win. Didn't
all
have
I had to,
win,
to do
didn't
was to outlast
the,
him.
Yeah, he didn't have to win the whole tournament. He just had to last longer than EB or me, and he wins a trip to Aruba, a free roll into their main event, hotel, right on the beach, an amazing prize.
Something is
but
telling
you know what
me,
I don't have?
Something is telling me you did not outlast the grinder.
Because I don't have patience. I still play
from
hands.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Zabe. He literally could have gotten up from the table, gone down to his car in the parking garage, laid back in the back seat for 2 hours, and just had his stack blinded a little bit here and there. And he would have bled you out because I would have eventually had to try to make a move to get more chips, and I would get knocked
out. You know how boring that is? Again, going back to Cakes like this, he can do that. To me, it doesn't look fun.
Well, this is why, JP, his lovely face looks so good after all these years. Look at this young man. He doesn't look like he's aged at all.
You know what? I love you, Zabe. I love you saying that. You're saying that. Despite my big bags under my eyes and the fact that I don't look young anymore,
and you raised three kids who are now, hopefully, are they all off the payroll now?
My youngest son is still at College
still
Park.
At college. Okay, cool.
My daughter, she is in grad school, but she still lives at home with us, which is great. It's awesome to have
your older kids. She's going to get a job,
yes.
I think, after she's done.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Babe, one thing I don't know about you, like, you know our story that we were friends and we kind of fell into the business, right? We started with the cable access show. Did you know when you were in high school or college you were going to do this?
No.
Because you've been uber successful for years. You know, we've been on different tracks. It's great that we can be part
of the same
team now.
We've lived on the different side of the island.
Right.
Me and Andy and the 980 guys. Yeah. You were on the other side of the island. We never really interacted. We were never like at war, these stupid radio wars. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys suck, you know. We were just
I always admired you. I always thought you did a great job.
Yeah.
Would listen to you when I could.
Yep.
But I never knew your kind of
backstory,
origin story.
Well, I didn't think I'd do sports talk radio. I did play-by-play at UCSB, and that was my first big break calling their basketball games. And I also did morning updates at KTMS Radio in Santa Barbara, and I did a one-hour talk show at night. So between the KTMS radio job in Santa Barbara, California, 1992, which paid $14,500 a year.
Nice.
And the $200 a game for the Gaucho games, usually about 30 a year counting preseason.
Hey, but at least Santa Barbara's cheap.
Okay, that's $6,000. That's $20,000 pre-tax, basically. And I rented a room for $600 in a house that was down by the beach in amongst these eucalyptus trees. I was never richer in my life.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
That sounds like an
amazing setup.
It was $20,000 a year. I had it made. No responsibilities, no kids. Super sports nerd, just into college basketball, calling the games, having a great time. I would have loved to have been a play-by-play guy, but I realized quickly it's such a narrow path to anything good. And the guys that are up doing the games, they never fucking retire.
Yeah, because it's such a great gig. Why would you leave?
Right. It's hard to get fired. And so the good ones stay there. So I just kind of said, well, let me get out of that. So I kind of then segued over into doing sports radio via updates. And there you go.
Here you are.
That's it. But yeah, it's better than working for a living.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, when people say, oh, man, you work really hard, because I was doing a morning show on Fox and then an afternoon show with Andy, and I'd be driving back and forth. Oh, it's so much hard work. I go, no. Hard work is being on a roof with a hot tar mop in the middle of July in D.C. And I know that that's what you guys have said about you guys, that you just you caught the lucky break and you stayed together through it.
You're so right, though, about kind of where you are in terms of making money and having fun. Like, when we first started out, we were a nighttime show.
Yeah.
And Cakes was coming from a background of working 5 years in retail. I was coming out of law school. Eric was in grad school. Jason was the only one doing sports.
I worked 4.5 years in retail. Had I worked the full 5 years, I would have gotten invested in my 401k, and I'd be a rich fucking man at this point.
Really?
I'm kidding.
What store?
But Toys R Us.
Oh, that's right.
I was a Toys R Us retail manager.
Lord.
4.5 years.
One of EB's favorite stories about Cakes is...
Oh, well, sorry. We're out of the Nerf rockets. Yeah. We're supposed to get a shipment in later on this month.
I lived
Cakes
through...
went to college.
I did.
And then what were your three interviews after college?
Foot Locker, Taco Bell, Toys R Us. I was aiming high, Zabe.
Well, that was the
I was aiming high.
That was the AP chemistry working for him right there.
You're probably right.
There was a period of time when we were working at night, and Cakes and I were actually carpooling to work. And we would play ping pong before every show in my garage. We'd play ping pong. And then back then, you know, Don and Mike, our show theoretically started at 7, but Don and Mike were kind of whoring us.
Yeah.
And they would go to 7:30, drop all their spots in the 7 o'clock hour. And we would roll in there about 7, 7:15. And those were just good times. And we would have bar appearances where we'd get paid $200 midnight till 2 a.m.
Glorious.
What was that?
Yeah, and you took them all.
Hey, Zabe, you'll find this hard to believe, Zabe, but JP and I, we turned down numerous dates with hot high school sophomores and juniors to play ping pong in JP's garage like five nights a week.
You're like,
during high school.
We got a big series going.
Yeah, you know what?
It's tied at 7-7.
I can't go make out with you at the park. I've got to play JP in ping pong tonight and listen to the Beastie Boys' License to Ill on a boombox.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
I know. Well, look, your guy's story with Don and Mike, and that got ugly. I remember that. And the format change and everything else. And you wrote about it in your other book, your first book that you wrote, Still Yakking?
Still Barking. Which was the second book, by the way.
Still Barking. What was the third book? First one was Glass Joe, about when you got into boxing.
Mm-hmm. That would have been the title. It was Chasing Rocky, but Joe is what I call myself.
Yourself Glass Joe, yeah.
I didn't really fare very well once the...
But you did it, though.
Yeah. I did it.
You had no boxing background.
Correct.
And you said, I'm going to try boxing at age...
36.
And you trained and you fought in a regulation stipulated fight at George Mason?
Yep.
At the Patriot Center. That was the whole thing. If you remember, there was a show called The Contender. And The Contender was Sylvester Stallone and Sugar Ray Leonard reality boxing show. And there was a local guy on that show named Jimmy Lang, who after that show had a little bit of fame. And he had a fight at the Patriot Center that I attended. And I was like, I want to make that happen. And through the power of radio, made it happen. Ring entrance, greater than ring performance, but it was a good time.
Okay, but you said just make it happen. Like, you had to train for it, and you had to learn to get punched in the face.
I trained. I had sparred a bunch of rounds, but it was different when the real fight happened.
Was it a headgear fight?
No.
No headgear fight.
Okay, and who did you fight?
I fought a guy named Jay Watts. And he was chosen, I'll tell you this.
Black guy. Racist, but I got to ask, okay?
No, it does make a difference. I'm going to tell you this. I actually wanted to fight a black guy. But here's an inside story. Because that would add to the story.
To the lore.
Intrigue. Right. You know that it would.
He was
right
bruised up. You couldn't tell because of his skin color, though.
So when I conceived this idea, I ran into Jimmy's father, who was his promoter and manager, at Jimmy's Tavern. EB and I had an appearance. And I said, hey, I got this crazy idea. And he immediately saw dollar signs. He was like, all right, we can make this happen. He's like, I can find an opponent out of a trash can, is what he said. Right? So I picked the date. They had a show coming up in December. I picked the date. I say, okay, well, look, I've never boxed. I need a trainer. He's like, I can get you a trainer. I can get you a Sugar Haze guy. He starts talking all this stuff. As the date is approaching, I still don't have a trainer. I need to get a trainer at some point, right? And I say, look, if you don't give me a trainer by next week, I'm out. I got a trainer. Then the plan was a month before the fight, we'll announce it. The guys on the show had no idea I was training.
Really?
We'll announce it.
No clue.
We'll announce it. It'll be this big thing. We're going to make it huge. The only guys who knew were CK and Brett. So we're going to make it this huge thing, make this announcement. Everybody's going to want to go. Everybody's going to want to see
out
it.
Out of nowhere, JP is going to
box. But I want to fight a black guy. So...
Racial harmony, obviously.
3 days before the fight is going to be announced, he still doesn't have my opponent. CK and I have a meeting with him.
Trash Can Terry?
We say, hey, we got to find who is JP fighting. We have to make an announcement on Monday on the radio, right? We're planning this. So we have a meeting in the conference room once the rest of the junkies are gone. CK, Brett, me, and Johnny Lang. And then I tell CK afterwards, I was like, you know what? You pick the opponent. I can't deal with this. Like, I'm getting more and more nervous. It's a month until the fight.
Yeah.
Well, ultimately, they send me an email and say, we got two guys you can fight. One's the black guy. He had 26 professional fights.
Jesus Christ.
He had a horrendous record, but 26
but
professional fights.
Yeah.
I've been training 1 month.
1 month.
1 month. So we
and
went
so
with the
you
white guy.
The other guy.
But the white guy had a better story because he had just come out of prison, had four kids from four moms, and had just been out of prison for maiming somebody.
Yeah. That might not have been the guy I'd want to pick. Somebody
Jay,
just maimed
the American
somebody.
Dream Watts.
And so what? How'd the fight go?
It went 2 minutes and 59 seconds.
He knocked you out?
They stopped the fight.
They stopped the fight.
Did
he knock
I
you
fell
down?
Apart.
Did he knock you down?
He did knock me down. What I would say is everything that I learned in training went out the door. It felt
did
like
it really?
I was, honestly, when I stepped in the ring, it felt like I was on speed. And
it must have been
it
terrifying.
It was totally different than sparring.
It must have been terrifying.
Oh, it has to be. Because
he
doesn't know this guy's like tendencies or like he had no scouting report on him. Like it had to be terrifying.
One
no
month,
headgear.
1 month of training, no boxing background.
Well, ultimately, it was 7 weeks of training.
Okay, still, that's like nothing.
Of course it's not.
At 37 years old.
36.
36 from the mean streets of Greenbelt, Maryland.
Bowie,
well, that's
Maryland.
Our school. That's our school.
You went to school in Greenbelt, but you're from Bowie, yeah. That's incredible.
But it was fun.
And you wrote about it, which is cool.
I did.
And you wrote about the radio show.
Yep.
And now you've written about Faith Restored. I love it. He's doing things. You've got your poker thing. All Lurch does is just try to get free hookups around the place.
And
you
he
know?
Tries to go to sleep by 7 p.m. every night.
Yes,
that's his goal in life. But you know what? He doesn't have bags like I do.
No,
so
he doesn't.
He's doing something right.
But and you and Bish live close.
I know.
You know
we're loud
close.
Guys. I know. So he's also a big golfer, and I would like to whore in on his free golf because he's really good at it. But he's the only guy that hasn't sat down with me. I had UJP with EB
right.
at the Palm a while back. Now I've clicked cakes off my list. I treat Lurch like the Charizard
right.
in Pokemon. He's the hardest card to
right.
get.
He's your white whale.
But eventually I'll get him.
Right.
You'll get him.
You'll bag him.
For
you'll,
a fee, I bet.
You'll bag that big elephant at some point.
All right.
You got to rope him into like your what's your go-to course?
He's got better courses than I do.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Go with his hookups.
No, seriously, his hookups are way better than mine. Tap Sports Bar down here at National Harbor is amazing. It's a sports enthusiast paradise. Dozens of flat-screen TVs, indoor, outdoor seating. Of course, it's a snowscape outside, so it's not for now. But in the summer, spring, it's glorious out here, and we're sitting in a luxury, like sort of a like a luxury.
It's a good setup
with a huge TV. This is a great place to watch road games.
Tap's awesome. Actually, the last time that I was in this back room. EB, right before COVID, or maybe it was his wife, there was a party back here for I think maybe EB's 50th birthday.
Nice.
Am I wrong on that?
It was
something.
It was somewhere in Tap. It might have been here.
It was definitely right here.
Yeah, you're right.
I just can't remember the occasion.
All right.
And knowing EB, his wife had to have planned it. So maybe it was for his birthday.
Yeah, probably planned it. All right, boys, this is a lot of fun. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for braving the traffic.
Of course,
glad
man.
You got to see some extra flops there, Cakes.
Yeah, thanks, Travis. Oh, can I throw this in?
Yes.
Do the book plug and
Faith
I'll throw
Restored,
something in.
Faith Restored, JP Flame, go to faithrestoredbook.com.
You can also get it on Amazon, but on Amazon, it's going to be full price.
Promo code Zabe, half price. I think there's a promo code in it. If not, you'll have to set it up.
There's not. I'm just going to set it up as $15 tonight.
Okay, well, okay, fine. Yeah, tomorrow.
Everybody who buys it, $15.
Sounds like there's a lot of books and boxes and books.
There you go.
That
do it.
Need to be set
up. Slash those prices, baby.
To pull back the curtain, the answer is yes.
Your poker tournament's coming up.
Mine is coming up. It's coming up on February 18th. It's part of the Potomac Winter Poker Open, which is a big tournament series here at MGM National Harbor.
Oh, is this the one I'm invited to?
Buy-in?
You are invited to it.
I think I'm going to play in that.
What's the buy-in?
The buy-in for that is $320.
Okay.
If you knock out me or JP if he's in the field, you get $300 in your pocket. You're basically
it's like a scalp.
Free rolling. You knock out anybody else, it's a $50 bounty in your pocket. I believe it starts at 4 p.m. on the 18th, a Wednesday. So come on out if you can. Would love
right.
to see you out here.
Boys, good to have you. Thank
great.
You as always.
Thanks for the invite,
thanks
man.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time on the Zabecast.
We don't have enough to eat. Shoe the children. With no shoes on their feet.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.